Our New Testament reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans, everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jerry, and choir, and musicians, technologists, thank you all. Will you pray with me, please? Bless now, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We live in interesting and glorious times. To be able to see the Northern Lights while you take your dog out to have a potty break, that's pretty incredible. The sky has been mesmerizing, has it not? Just over time in the last few weeks, incredible. This world in which we live, this time period in which we live, has a lot of challenges and a lot of beautiful things. It is also a time in which we tend to really glorify data and knowledge, much more so than any other time in history. It's as if we have built our own Tower of Babel, but based on bytes of data rather than on language and trying to tame language, as if we truly believe that the one with the most knowledge wins. Right? We thrive on certainty. We plan, we strategize, we map out the way forward, and we believe with just a little bit more work, we can have the control that we really long to have in our lives. And yet, if you're like me, and if we're honest, I am sure that we find ourselves more often than we care to admit, unsure of what lies ahead, uncertain of how to move forward. And friends, I'm going to say these are precious times in our lives. These are precious times, moments when God reaches out and meets us in different ways, in God's care and compassion, not typically with answers laid out for us in a neat row of what to do and how it will work out. We would love that, wouldn't we? But coming to us with dreams, coming to us with inner soul touches that stir our hearts and point the way and can awaken us to what God is doing and seeks for us in the moment. Dreams, as is mentioned in the Bible, dreams as they come to the Bible and in our lives are God's way of speaking to us, offering guidance when the path forward seems unclear. And while our data-driven selves probably think dreams are child's play or for the romantics in the world around us, this is not the biblical view of dreams. As we think of who we are in the Christian faith, as we continue in this Welcome Home series, as we begin to wrap up this Welcome Home series, part of who we are people with the ability to work in dream language, not just sometimes, but often, training ourselves to do so to be wise in our dreams, our visions. God uses dreams both that we have in our REM sleep and those that inspire us to reach out, to do more, to reach further in our faith. Now let's just look at a couple examples of dreams in the Bible and remember how the biblical interpretation of dreams. We have Joseph of the Technicolor dream coat way back in Genesis. The young boy, the youngest of the 12, who dreamt dreams of his brothers bowing down to him, his elder brothers. They were really vivid to him, and they were really glimpses of what was to come. They were prophetic moments for him. But here's the key. When Joseph shared those dreams with his brothers, bad idea, they hated him for it. His father even rebuked him for it. Because God's dreams can push us beyond the boundaries of what people are comfortable with and what people think is possible. God's dreams challenge our assumption of who's at the top and who's at the bottom, and ask us to envision something far greater than what we of our own design would come up with. And Joseph's dreams point toward a future where he will have leadership and he will have purpose. And it was a really difficult road to get there, with life-threatening, scary, challenging times. Betrayal, slavery, false accusations, imprisonment. And yet through it all, Joseph had those dreams, the dreams that God had placed in him. And in the end, Joseph's dreams not only saved him, but saved his family and all of Egypt, countless others during that time of famine. So we know, we can hold on to the fact that God's dreams may not be easy to understand or to achieve, but they can lead us through hardship and challenge, as we are called to trust in the one who created the dream, as we ask that one, that holy one, to be the light forward in ways that we are not so certain of. And then if we fast forward in time, we come to another Joseph. Right? Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth, betrothed to a young woman named Mary. And when Mary was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Joseph was in crisis. And the path ahead was challenging and seemed impossible to him. How could he take Mary as his wife under such scandalous circumstances? Now, he'd already made up his mind to quietly divorce her when, in a dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This was in a dream. And in that dream, God gave Joseph, bless you, the courage to take a step he could never take on his own. It was out of what was right and normal and good in his mind. And it was not an easy path. Joseph had to navigate through people's whispers and gossip and doubts and a lot of unknown. And yet through this dream, God revealed the way forward, God's way forward. The child born of Mary would not only change Joseph's life, but ours today. Sometimes the dreams God gives us asks us to take bold and difficult steps, steps that don't make sense to us or anyone around us. But when we listen to those divine dreams, we can step into a larger story that God is writing, where redemption, salvation, healing, wholeness are possible. And then we're going to fast forward again to the text that Jerry read from today. It's the Pentecost story, the story that shows where we, the people of Jesus, began, as we began to try to unfold what it means to live in a life after Jesus is on the earth. And the first thing that Peter does in that moment is to step up and quote the prophet Joel, saying that when God pours out God's Spirit on the people, on us, the sons and daughters will prophesy. They will speak God's truth If we listen, we will hear God's truth from the lips of our sons and daughters. The young will see visions, and elders will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From way back in the Old Testament and claimed immediately post Jesus' rising and no longer being present with us on earth, the first thing that is talked about is how we hear God through our dreams. So what about our dreams? What dreams has God placed in your heart? Because God has. God is placing dreams in your heart. What visions of the future are stirring within you, perhaps so quietly that you brush them aside as wishful thinking? Dreams come to us in many ways. Sometimes, like in the Old Testament, they come in the night, revealing something of God's words, and we struggle to hold on to the dream, maybe in the morning. Other times they come to us as longings, as desires, as hope-fors, and it might seem something too big to reach out on our own. But these dreams might be leading you to just a new direction, or a new possibility, or a new way in your life, to a deeper vocation with God, into a world that can be healed and made whole. You know that is not just possible, that is God's plan that we are part of. We may live in challenging times, but the plan that has been stated, the dreams that are put in us, is for the salvation, the healing of the world and all that is in it. But here's the truth. God's dreams are not given to us simply for our own benefit. They're given for the sake of the world, to be a blessing to others, just as Joseph's dream in the Old Testament ultimately brought salvation to his family, and the dream of the angel to Joseph the carpenter led to the birth and the well-being of Jesus. In that same way, the dreams God gives you will be ripples in the water that impact more than you know, more than you can see beyond the moment of the pebble in the water. But these dreams, they also require trust, because the way forward is rarely clear. God just doesn't give us a full picture. We wish. We would love the billboard. We would love the confidence. But sometimes only we know the next little step, just the next little step. Our calling is to be faithful to that next little step and to trust that God's dreams will guide us through any uncertainty. Now, at our charge conference yesterday, we had our charge conference yesterday. Our district superintendent, Reverend Rourke, asked us to talk amongst ourselves as a church around several questions that she asked. And one of them was this: suppose your church had an opportunity to implement a ministry that had a high potential for positive impact, but you've never done it before, and you need to get started immediately. Okay? You have the opportunity for a high-impact ministry, high potential for positive impact. You've never done it before, and you've got to start right now. Could this church do it? Could this church spring into action within a few hours, or at most, a few days? And that group of charge conference people sat around me, and what do you think they said? Say it louder.
Yes.
For the people in the back.
Yes.
Yes. They said it just in a moment. Right? Yes. Because this church does. Without sort of knowing what might happen next, this church leans in to do things that maybe even in previous years didn't seem possible. Repair the pipe organ? Yes. Do this ministry? Yes. Bring in supplies to go with Uncle to North Carolina? Yes. You just say yes all over the place, and then you do. Right? Now, during this time of year that we label stewardship, this time that of the harvest time, which is why we do this in this fall time of year, we're meant to think about God's dreams for us Not just what we think we're capable of, but what is God calling us to? And we say yes, and we step into it, not knowing how it might all work out, not knowing how it might end. So this question is interesting and important. If God asked us to do something that needed to be done immediately and we've never done it before, will we spring into action within a few hours or at most a few days? So what are your resources of your time and your talent, your financial resources? What is in our toolkit for responding to the dreams of God, the dreams that God puts into our lives? And I'd love for you to spend time in your personal lunch groups or dinner groups and think about what the church might be asked to do in a moment, what we are being asked to do and what we are doing. The power of shared dreams, shared voices, shared responses of the Holy Spirit. Because in this house of the Lord, this is a house of dreams where we listen to the young to hear their visions. We listen to our elders to hear their dreams. How are we using this right now to discern God's direction for you individually and for this powerful body here in Adrian, this church? So here are just some thoughts on how we can embrace our dreams. First, we've got to be open. We've got to be able to take on what we think is just some idle thought going through our brains and still our minds, open our hearts, especially when we feel uncertain about the way forward. That's your cue to listen to God's voice in your dreams. Second, we must be willing to embrace the unexpected. If it's expected, I'll tell you what, it's our thoughts, not God's. If it's unexpected, tune in. Sounds like the voice of God to me. Things that disrupt our timelines and the way that we plan forward, leading us to God's greater purpose. And lastly, we must have courage to act, to do things that seem out of line or seem different or seem perhaps not wise to the wisdom of the world, the data gatherers of the world. We must have courage. So in conclusion, the reality is that God is still speaking to us through dreams right now, here today. God is placing visions in your hearts, calling us to imagine a future beyond what we can do on our own. Now, the dreams that God gives us are never just for us. They're for the sake of the world, for the sake of God's kingdom. So I ask you today, what dreams has God given you? We need to know. We need those visions. We need that possibility. What is God stirring in your heart, church, for us to make a difference today? Do you know this world needs that difference? May we, like Joseph the dreamer and Joseph the carpenter, have the faith to listen, the courage to act, and the trust to believe that God's dreams for us are leading us into green pastures. Church, let's allow the Spirit to fill us with visions and dreams. And then let us remember to act without hesitation, to say yes, go big and go bold. As we allow the Spirit to settle into us and we listen to the Spirit, let's sing while you're seated. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Let's sing it as lead us, Lord. Change the me to us. Let's do that again from your heart, folks. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to do it one more time. I invite you to stand. Find that place of surrender in your heart and that place of deep listening. God, we are here. Spirit, come.